As we begin another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast, I invite you to stay tuned because, as usual, we have a very, very special program planned for you. The More Abundant Life is a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wintley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for The More Abundant Life, and today we're going to continue the title of Victory in Defeat. This is a message that was presented by Pastor Phipps to the Seabrook Church. So we're going to hear part two today of the title of Victory in Defeat. This will be program number 157 in our series, and I do hope that you will stay tuned because I'm sure you're going to enjoy and appreciate the perspective that Pastor Phipps is going to present in this very interesting title. Our message will begin and will continue after we hear some very special music.
Placed a dream within your heart, and if you'll make a start, He wants for you to know. All of your needs He will supply, He's always standing by. He's there to see you through. So keep on climbing until you reach your goal. Just keep on striving with all your heart and soul. All things are possible with God. So don't give in. He'll move your mountains. He believes in your dreams. And when the road ahead seems long, with faith you can be strong. There to show the way. With every step you know what's right, you'll conquer in His mind. He'll bring that brighter day. You just keep on climbing. Just keep on climbing.
God was still with him. What a great moment it is when you realize that you're not just being tossed about by some wind of circumstance, but God has a purpose for everything that happens in your life. One night as he lay grieving in his spirit, his pillow, the rock beneath his head, God showed Jacob a ladder stretching from earth to heaven, a ladder reaching from heaven's highest mountain to earth's lowest valley. It was a ladder reaching from God's throne to the most sin-sick, prostrate soul. He saw a ladder that spanned the gulf that sin had forged between man and his creator. That night the Lord spoke to Jacob saying, I am with you, Jacob. I'll be with you in all places where you go. I will not leave you. Jacob rose the next morning, took the stone that he used for his pillow. I love this. He set up an altar with that pillow. Poured oil over it. Have mercy, Jesus. And he called that place Bethel. Oil on a pillow. Bethel. Jacob had left Canaan, a haunted, broken man, but while matriculating through the school of adversity, he became a different person. But now he was looking back. The servant of the Lord tells us, listen to this, that with each passing day, Jacob's ambitious heart was made soft by the horrible experiences of his life. His attitude changed. His outlook on life was altered. It was being tempered by hardship and trial. Remember, he not only tricked Esau, but ended up being tricked by his father-in-law. Laban found himself trying to raise two families under adverse circumstance. So Jacob one day had enough of all of this, packed up his belongings, started heading home, retracing his steps, began his journey back to his father's house, and I didn't know it, but a host of heavenly angels were walking with Jacob. You remember the band of angels that he saw going up and down the ladder? Servant of God says, those same angels went before him, went behind him. The same band of angels that Jacob saw going up and down that ladder of grace, those same angels were the ones sent by God to guide him and protect him. He was a rich man now, and after all these years, he was still afraid of Esau. What will he get after all these years? It was a dark hour, and he decides upon a bold gesture that he would give Esau gifts. And he sent a message to Esau. Are you still with me today? He said, I'm coming that I might find grace in your sight. The servants came back and said, Jacob, Esau is not sending you gifts. An army is marching on us. Jacob split up his family into two bands. And he reached the river. The Bible says Jacob was left alone. Listen. As he paused for rest, spending the night in prayer, calling on God in this place of trouble. And by the way, sometimes God will not use his power until he's sure that you're sure that you've used up all yours. Sometimes he won't invoke his strength until you're sure. No, let me say it again. He won't invoke his strength until he's sure that you're sure that you've used up all yours. He won't show you his options until he's sure that you're sure that you've exhausted all yours. He won't call up his reserves until he's sure that you're sure that you used up all your options. And when Jacob was weak and defenseless and sleeping, can you imagine Jacob sleeping there in his mind? He's sleeping, but all he's dreaming about is Esau. And then in the middle of this dreaming of Esau, he feels a strong hand being laid upon him. And he thought it was an enemy come to take him in the night. And in the darkness, he begins to wrestle, fighting for the mastery. And can you imagine fighting all night long with someone who doesn't say a word to you? He was too busy wrestling. Fighting, they were just struggling together. This was no figurative struggle. This was real struggle. Jacob knew that he was in the battle of his life. And while he wrestled with the stranger, Jacob saw his sins rise up before him, but he kept fighting on. Sometimes the devil will put before you your past. He lets you see where you've been, what you've done, how wicked you've been, but you've got to keep wrestling. You've got to keep fighting. Jacob fought on. He fought with the stranger until he reached the point of exhaustion. He wrestled with the angel all night long, the Bible says, until the break of the day. When the stranger placed his finger, not his hand. Not, are you with me today? Put his finger. Now, you know that's power. Put his finger on Jacob's thigh, and instantly Jacob was crippled. Servant of the Lord says that the angel who wrestled with him was the angel of the covenant, who was Christ himself, who had revealed himself to Jacob. Jacob was now disabled. He was suffering the most terrible pain he had ever felt in his life, but he still, hallelujah, wouldn't loosen his hold on the stranger. He clung to the angel. The Bible says that Jacob wept, hanging on to the angel. He was weeping, made supplication. He held on to the angel, pleading for the blessing. He was holding on to the angel so tight that finally, when the angel got tired, said, let me go. Release me. If any cry, Jacob did not know who it was that fought him. In that moment, his mind was just full of Esau. He thought of all that he had done all through the night. He fought with the stranger, but he didn't realize who he was dealing with until the stranger touched him. One touch revealed that his opponent had to be divine. So much power in a touch. Oh, how often we wrestle in the dark. We know not how near God is to us. Jacob didn't realize that the unknown stranger with whom he wrestled had a whole lot of power in reserve. He touched the thigh of Jacob with his finger. Now, the stranger did not use these powers earlier in the night. He didn't call upon that hour till the dawn was coming up. All the time the struggle was raging, the stranger didn't touch him with that power. In this battle of strength, Jacob couldn't win, but as he prayed and hung on for dear life in his weakness, he was strong. The angel said to Jacob, okay, Jacob, let go of me. Let me go. I like the way the old English says this, for the day breaketh. Jacob answered, I will not let you go except you bless me. What's your name? Said the angel. My name is Jacob, the supplanter. Oh no, said the angel. You've been fighting like Israel, not like a supplanter. Your name shall be called Israel, for as a prince in your weakness, you have power with God. In your weakness, as a prince, you have fought. You have power in your weakness. Baffled and beaten, Jacob was more than a conqueror in his failure. In his defeat, he yielded himself to the one who had overcome him. I like to put it as he was fighting, he didn't know it, he was fighting with the undisputed heavyweight champion of heaven. And in those dark hours, Jacob graduated from trust in self to victorious dependence on the arm of Jehovah. Someone said that it is no accident that God touched Jacob at dawn, because whenever he touches you, it's morning in your soul. Now, I came here to preach this message this morning to tell you that one of the lessons of life in God's kingdom is that, hear me today, there are defeats which are really victories in life. When, like Jacob, you find yourself maimed, disabled, broken, bereaved, when storms come to your life, there is a sense that The morning breaks and you are defeated. You are incapable of wrestling anymore. You're just tired. You can't go on. When Jesus touched Jacob's strong thigh muscle, it shrunk. Can you imagine that? With a touch of a finger, his whole, and your thigh muscle is a strong muscle. Imagine trying to wrestle without the use of your thigh muscle. Jacob could no longer grip. He couldn't press. He could only cling and hang on like a, oh, Lord have mercy. Couldn't do nothing with his feet. All he could do is just hang on with his arms. But he clung in weakness to Jesus, and his clinging was more victorious than all his wrestling. It was when he clung to Jesus in weakness that he became a prince. You see, how can I put this to you? Make it plain today. In life, there are victories that are terrible defeats. And there are defeats that are victories. In life, there are victories that are terrible defeats. Whenever self wins, that's a defeat, not a victory. Whenever passion wins, that's a defeat, not a victory. Whenever appetite wins, that's a defeat, not a victory. Whenever anger wins, that's a defeat, that's not a victory. Whenever unkind words come out of your mouth, that's not a victory. That's a defeat. When you silence the voice of conscience, that's a defeat, that's not a victory. When you trample on your convictions, that's a defeat, not a victory. When you set aside the word of God, that's not a victory. Yes, it is a victory. If you put God first. Amen. Hear me today. When you compromise just to be recognized, that's a defeat. Do you hear me today? But then on the other hand, in life, there are defeats that are victories. You know, those days when your selfish dreams fail you, when your private schemes fall apart, and you are forced to depend on Jesus. Those are not defeats, really. Those are victories. Days when your sharp, smart plans miscarry, and you're forced to depend upon Christ because your dependence on your pride and self is shattered. Those are not defeats. Those are victories. When your thigh muscle shrinks, when you know where you're strong and you can't seem to get strength from where you're strong, that's not a defeat. When you lean on Christ, that's a victory. In that moment, you are brought down to the ground by a touch of God. You are humbled. In that hour when we seem to be defeated, we are really victorious. One man told a story of a helpless man who was a slave to liquor, strong drink. He tried again and again to be free. And others tried to help him, but he couldn't get rid of this drunkenness until one day he was saved by the glory of Christ. And when he was converted, there was a wonderful change. Somebody said to him, "So you've got the mastery of the devil at last." "Oh no," he said, but I got the master of the devil in my heart." You see, Satan is a supernatural enemy. It takes supernatural power to overwhelm him. Christ is that only power. From that time, Jacob limped. He was called Israel, and he was strong with a limp. He never forgot the conflict as he limped through the rest of his life. Sometimes in our lives, God stops us in our tracks, and he shuts us in. God says, "Take your time to speak to you about what's going on in your life." And then he says, you'll hear him say, "To those plans, no. To those ambitions, no." Most of us would rather travel a road of success and ease. But I want you to know, if you got a limp and cling to Jesus, you're victorious. So with God, don't be afraid of defeat. Because you're never so near to victory as when you are defeated by him. Someone said, "It is defeat that turns bone to flint, gristle to muscle, makes men valuable. Defeat never comes to any man until he admits first that he is helpless, defenseless. Some defeats are just installments of victory. There are some defeats that are more triumphant than victories. Outward defeat often spells inward victory. A life of victory comes when you surrender to God. How can I tell you this? There have been times in my life when I thought I lost, only to find, to my surprise, that I had really won. My brother and I, growing up as boys, we had a thing that we used to do to each other. There's a dish that we love in Trinidad called roti. And we would buy two rotis. And then one day we had a contest to see who could keep their roti the longest. After 2 days, I gave in and I ate my roti. A week went by, 2 weeks, he forgot his roti. When he opened it, it was many different colors of the rainbow. I thought I had lost. But in reality, I had won. In my defeat, I gained a victory. There are times in your life when you think you lose, only to find out you really won. In high school, I lost a girlfriend. To a sharp dressing, slick talking, older man. He looked older to me. But thank God I lost her. Because in my defeat, I gained a victory. Professionally, there have been times in my life when certain administrative officials felt it was not best for me to remain in their employ. But in my defeat, God gave me a victory. Because when you stand for principle in your life, in the face of overwhelming odds, you may appear to lose. But with God on your side, you gain a victory in defeat. You don't really lose if you just cling to the Savior. Somebody here, and sometimes it's just wise to lose.
All right. Yes, sir.
I know what I'm talking about. If you've been married long, you understand what I'm talking about. It's just wise to lose. Is that the way you want it, baby? No problem. We'll do it that way. Sometimes it's just wise to lose. Amen. I tell people I enjoy being a holy wimp. Sometimes it's just wise to lose. I read this the other day. Show me a man who is a good loser, and I'll show you a man who plays golf with his boss. Think about that for a minute. It's just wise to lose. Pride is what goes before destruction. Young people often find out that he who leaves home to set the world on fire, you often have to come back for more matches because you're not that. Are you with me? Sometimes I read of a college freshman who went away to school. He wouldn't listen to any advice from his parents. And one day he sent a telegram home saying, "Mom, have failed everything. Prepare Pop." The reply came back the next day, "Pop prepared. Prepare yourself." Yet that young man had a lot to learn. Sometimes failure and defeat is a better teacher than success. It was Douglas MacArthur who once said, "There is no substitute for victory, but in life, with God on your side, don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to surrender, because in defeat you get victories. Now, what do you have to surrender to God today? What passion? What is so strong in your life? Is it pride? Is it appetite? What is it in your life that is so strong that it rises up and brings you down? You climb up the ladder of God's grace, and every time you seem to reach a higher rung, it has a long arm and it reaches you with all its strength and it drags you back down. What is it? The Lord sent me by here today to tell you that in surrender and in defeat, you will have glorious victory. Victory.
That brings us to the close of the program for today. We hope that you enjoyed the message, part two of A Victory in Defeat. If you would like to obtain a copy of this message on cassette tape, I invite you to call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. Today you will want to ask for program number 157. That's program number 157 in our series, and that will give you the title, A Victory in Defeat, Part 2. As always, I like to wish you God's richest blessings as we end our program. I do hope that you'll join us for another program. We'd love to have you. But until we can be together again by radio, please remember the words of John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life." God bless you today.
Give what's in your heart.